Heyo, and welcome to Dune Reads Goosebumps. I am Dune, and this is part two of The Curse of Camp Cold Lake by R.L. Stine on Dune Reads Goosebumps. The girlfriend made just a surprised impromptu trip to Denver to see her best friend who was just staying with us. So I have a little house to myself so I can record what's going on. Franklin, I finally took to the vet because his allergies were getting bad. He gets allergies, and we finally had rain in San Diego for the first time in years, so the plants grew, and he got itchy, and he chewed it himself, so he was on steroids. But then during the visit, they're like, yo, you need to get one of his teeth out, and I'm like, great! So they finally sent me the quote on that, and it's like, you know, it's not a lot, or it is a lot for anything, but it's my entire savings account. I guess I was saying that is not a lot. So I got to do that, and then it goes back to trying to save for this fucking wedding. I don't know. That's not funny or interesting. What else is going on? It's hot as fuck. I'm sure it's hot as fuck where you are, too. We stupidly went out, and we're like, we are going to go hiking because the fiancé wanted to go to the forest, which now she's in the forests of, like, the Rocky Mountains, where it's way better. But I was like, yeah, we can drive an hour out near Julian, California, and go for a hike. Except for we went to my buddy's house and just got super drunk the night before, and then woke up and finally made it there around noon. So it was 96 degrees, and the hike, like, I'd read it was shady, but it's nothing shady at fucking noon when there's a path, because the trees don't grow in the goddamn path. So there's no shade at all. We're sweating, it's 96 degrees, it's humid, and we're trying to go up to the top of a mountain. It was like Mount Vulcan. The point is, it's a horrible plan. I guess that's kind of funny and interesting. I don't know. Been working on way more music-y stuff, too, lately. Anyway, what else is going on? Thank you, Ben, for sending me $20. That's tight as hell. That's going right into ripping out Franklin's old tooth. I think it's not quite a molar, but close to it, but he'll be happier. And he's doing better since he had steroids, so I'll do that soon. And what else is going on? Oh, remember last time? Of course you do, because you probably listen to him and wait until I put out the second half. But last time I did all those answers to the goddamn questions on the interview. I still haven't goddamn written that up. So I need to do that ASAP, because, for anyone that isn't in the biz, ASAP means as soon as possible. But anyway, I need to do that, obviously, so I'll probably do that, I don't know, at work tomorrow or tonight, depending on how I feel. Anyway, let's just get to it. I'm Dune, this is Dune Reads Goosebumps. I'm drinking a Costco Kirkland brand rum mixed with a Mexican Coke, because I had a steel reserve when I got home, but I'm trying to catch a buzz first to record this, because I'm going into it pretty early. It's only 4 o'clock right now, so I'm trying to cop a solid buzz. So there's a strong, huge fucking drink. Whatever, sorry, where was that? Chapter 15. I struggled to shore. My feet were numb. Oh, I forget what was going on. Did she have diabetes? I could feel the muddy bottom as I staggered out of the water. Did she have diabetes and she shit herself? when you're walking out the water and your pants start to get hotter, diarrhea. Diarrhea. I rubbed my arms. I couldn't feel the touch of my hands. I couldn't feel the water pouring off me, running down my back. Couldn't feel anything. Numb. Numb all over. Comfortably numb. Where is everyone? I called. But did I make a sound? Did I have a voice? I couldn't hear myself. I stepped onto the grass and shook myself like a dog trying to get dry. Like, quit booze? Is that what they mean by get dry? Because now I can't relate to the character. Trying to shake some feeling into my cold, numb body. Where did you all go? Hugging myself, I stumbled forward. I stopped when I saw the canoes, all tacked upside down by the shore and tied up. Weren't kids canoeing today? Weren't the canoes all out on the lake? Hey! I shouted. But why couldn't I hear my own shout? Where is everyone? No one on the shore. I spun around, nearly losing my balance. No one in the water. No one. No one anywhere. Oh, there's some Twilight Zone shit right here. I stumbled past the life preserver and rubber rafts covered with a canvas tarp. Isn't anyone going to use them? I wondered. Why are they covered up? Why did everyone leave the lake so quickly? Oh, what do you think happened? Was there some sort of time disturbance at the bottom of the lake when she went under? Yeah? That's what happened, right? I don't even fucking remember, right? The bitch girl, even though I guess this girl that we're following was kind of a bitch to begin with, but someone rocked her, they both fell, and then she got up and they were gone, right? Is that where we are? I wish you could answer me. Shivering, hugging myself, I made my way toward the lodge. I gasped when I noticed the trees. Bare. All winter bare. No! A frightened wail escaped my throat. A silent wail. If we don't speak for the silent whales, who will? Japan. Could anyone hear me? When had the leaves fallen? Why had they fallen in the middle of summer? I started to trot along the path to the lodge. Cold. So cold. Something stung my shoulder. Something tingled my eyelids. Snow? Yes. Tiny white flakes drifted down, blown by a steady breeze. Like a Colombian Christmas, the bare trees rattled and creaked. I brushed snowflakes from my wet hair like that one Jay-Z song. Snow? But I knew that was impossible. There hadn't been coke in this county for months, ever since Officer Roscoe started cracking down on the dealers. All impossible. Hey! My shout echoed through the trees. Or did it? Could anyone hear my frightened call? Help! I shouted. Somebody help me. Silence, except for the creaking tree limbs overhead. I started to run again. My bare feet moved silently over the cold ground like Legolas. The cabins came into view as I made my way out of the trees. Their flat roofs were covered by a thin layer of snow. The ground was as gray as the sky. The cabins were all dark, the shingled walls gray, gray all around me. Somehow a tree grew up to... I live in the second and third floory. Floory. That's a story and a four. Jesus Christ, why am I reading this? Anyway, I live on the second and third floor in a condo, and there's a tree that's grown next to this window, and it's scraping against it like they describe in Goosebumps books. And it's not as scary as if one describes. It just kind of pushes against it and it squeaks like chalk on a chalkboard. And it's horrifying. Not in a scary way, just in the, oh my god, that fucking sound hurts my spine. Anyway, a cold world of gray. I pushed open the door of the first cabin I came to. Hey, I need help, I cried. I stared into the empty room. No one there. No camp trunks, no clothes scattered about. I raised my eyes to the bunk beds against the wall. The blankets, the sheets, the mattresses had all been taken away, like prisoners that had just caused a riot. I guess this cabin isn't what it used. Isn't being used, I thought. I backed out of the door, turned and ran down the row of cabins, all dark and silent. My cabin stood where the path curved up the hill. With a sigh of relief, I ran up to it and pushed open the door. Where did sighing come from? Like, what is the stupidest, lowest level of animal that sighs? Because dogs sigh when they're, like, bored or annoyed. They give out that, like... And it's kind of has the same connotation it does in humans. Like, do squirrels sigh? Are they like, oh, you gave me a nut, but it's baked and covered in cheese puff powder. I don't want that. Like, is that something everyone does? If you're a biologist that knows about the origin of sighing, hit me up at dune@dunereadsgoosebumps.com. Brianna, Meg! I had dinner with Brianna and Meg last night for Brianna's birthday. Empty and dark. The mattress is gone. The posters pulled down. No clothes, no bags or trunks. No sign that anyone had ever lived here. Where are you? I shrieked. It says shrieked, but I decided to kick it up a notch. And then, where am I? Where was my stuff? Where was my bed? Uttering another terrified wail, I lurched out of the cabin, cold, so cold and numb, running through the cold in my wet bathing suit. I bet her nip, never mind. I tore through the camp, pulling open doors, peering into bare, empty rooms, calling for someone, anyone, to help me. Into the main lodge, my cries echoing off the high wooden rafters. Or did they? Was I really making a sound? Why couldn't I hear myself? I burst into the mess hall. The long wooden benches had been stacked onto tables. The kitchen stood dark and empty. What was happening? I wondered, unable to stop my trembling. Speaking of stopping trembling. Booze, 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 booze. Where did everyone go? Why'd they all leave? Why'd they leave so quickly? How can it be snowing? I stumbled back into the gray cold. Wisps of gray fog floated low over the gray ground. It's like that blue adabadida undada dabadida song, but instead of like blue, it's gray. And I have the feeling, even though I think that song came out before this, that this stole from this book, like they had a copy, because everyone steals from R.L. Stine. I'm gray at Abu Duna. Dune is the grayest. I'm gray, 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 gray. Are y'all gay? I stumbled back out into the gray cold. Wisps of gray fog floated low over the gray ground. I hugged my frozen body, trying to keep myself warm. Terrified and confused, I wandered from building to building. I felt as if I were swimming again, swimming in the thick gray mist, like someone was vaping heck of clouds, swimming through endless layers of gray. And then I stopped when I heard a voice, a tiny voice, a girl's voice, singing. She was singing in a high, frail voice, like every hack horror movie. La da 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 da, I'm gonna eat your face. Like every, you know, that's what they do. Anyway, I'm not alone, I cried. I listened to her song, a sad song sung softly, nice alliteration. And then I called out to her, where are you? I can't see you. Where are you? All right, one chapter in and my whole huge strong cocktail's completely gone. Let's do this. Chapter number 16. I followed the tiny voice to the lodge. I saw a girl perched on the wooden steps. Hey, I called. Hey, I was looking for someone. Can you help me? She kept singing as if she didn't see me. As I walked closer, I realized she was singing the Camp Cold Lake song in her tiny, light voice. She had long curls of white, blonde hair that flowed down the sides of her face, kind of like Mr. Burns when he was like a kid. A pretty face, delicate and pale. So incredibly pale. It's because she's a ghost! She wore a sleeveless white t-shirt and white short shorts. Snowflakes fell all around us. I shivered, but she didn't seem to notice the cold, because ghosts don't care about the cold. She tilted her head from side to side as she sang. Her round blue eyes stared out at the sky. They reminded me of shiny blue marbles in her pale, pale face. As a white person, that term is offensive because that's what Native Americans called us as they sacrificed our... Oh, wait. As they charged too much for hot wings at a casino? And that was wrong. I stepped up in front of her. I brushed snowflakes from my forehead. She didn't turn to me until her song was finished. Then she smiled. Hi, Sarah. Her speaking voice was as soft as her singing. How do you know my fucking name? I stammered. Her smile grew wider. I've been waiting for you, she replied. My name is Della. Della, I'm so cold, and what kind of fucking name is Della? I blurted out. She rose to her feet, turned, and pulled something out from behind the steps. A white bathrobe. She held it up and slipped it around my trembling shoulders. Her hands were so light, I could barely feel them. She helped me tie the belt. Then she stepped back and smiled at me again. I've been waiting for you, Sarah. That's why I brought you this kick-ass fucking bathrobe. By the way, I need to get a bathrobe while the old fiancé is gone and just wear that and walk the dog just nude except for a bathrobe. Except for, I was like, you know what? My goal to myself is to not spend a fucking cent while she's gone. So I'm gonna see how that goes. Anyway. Excuse me? I cried, waiting. She nodded. Her white blonde hair fluttered with every move of her head. I can't leave without you, Sarah. I need a buddy. I stared at her, trying to understand. Where is everyone? I cried. Where did everyone go? Why are you the only one here? I brushed snowflakes from my eyebrows. Della, how did it get to be winter? You'll be my buddy, won't you, Sarah? Her blue eyes burned into mine like blue fire in one of those torch lighters that apparently I think became legal or illegal because I look like the resident tweaker because I went to a bunch of different liquor stores near my office looking for torch lighters because I was trying to melt out a bunch of frozen block of ice in the freezer because we have one of those tiny fridges and the freezer was completely filled with block of ice. So I was like, oh, I'm going to get a torch lighter and burn it out. So I went to a bunch of liquor stores and I was like, hey, you guys got torch lighters? And they're like, no. And then I was like, okay, cool, thanks. And I walked away. And I'm pretty sure they're like, man, that guy loves crack. Anyway, her hair glowed around her pale face. I blinked. I don't understand. I started, please answer my questions. You'll be my buddy, won't you? She repeated, pleading with those amazing eyes. I've waited so long for a buddy, Sarah. So long. But Della... She started to sing again. Rolling on a lonesome highway, east of Omaha. I shoved my hands into the pockets of the robe. I shivered. I couldn't get warm. I couldn't stop shaking. Why was she singing? Oh, sorry, I got the song wrong. The Camp Cold Lake song so sadly. Why wouldn't she answer my questions? How did she know my name? And why did she say she'd been waiting for me? Della, please, I begged. Singing her strange, sad song, she floated up the wooden stairs to the lodge. Her hair shimmered, golden in the gray light. Swirls of fog curled around her as she moved. Oh, I cried out when I realized I could see right through her. What, like she's like a shallow cunt, or... Oh, you mean she's a ghost, Della? She floated over the stairs, tilting her head from side to side, singing in that breathy whisper of a voice. Della? Hella Della? Della Kella? She stopped singing and smiled at me again. Snowflakes covered her blonde hair. The fog still swirled around her. I could see the dark shingles of the lodge through her body. I stared right through her. Sarah, you're my buddy now, she whispered. I need a buddy. Everyone at Camp Cold Lake needs a buddy. But you're dead, I blurted out. Della is dead, I realized, and I'm her buddy. That means that I'm dead, too. Oh, she's dead like her, like that show that was on HBO or Showtime or something. That was all right, and I watched it once when I was sick all the way through and I had a fever, and it was very bizarre. And then, like, they made a movie, but I don't know if I watched it, but the show I remember being all right. But I think it was for girls, so that's probably why it wasn't, you know, for me to begin with. Dead like me. Chapter number 17. My mom just texted me, letting me know she went to a movie and saw a preview for the Goosebumps movie. She's so sweet, I love my mom. Chapter number 17 again. Della floated over me. So light and pale, the wind fluttered her hair. It rose around her like a shimmering halo. You're dead, I murmured. And... I am too. Saying the words sent a cold shudder down my body. I began to realize the truth. I began to see what had happened. Della had probably drowned here, drowned in the lake. That is why everyone at the camp is so crazy about water safety. That explains the endless water safety lectures and the long list of rules and why the counselors insist on the buddy system at all times. Della drowned here, and now I'm her buddy. I'm her buddy because I drowned too. No! A long wail of horror, of disbelief, escaped my throat. By the way, as someone that loves being in the water and hates being dry and is just a tight-ass, like, transphibian, you know? I can't imagine drowning. It just seems like the worst kind of death. It's actually the moment of breathing in water and just fucking, I'm into freezing to death. Because apparently you get super cold, then you get warm and comfy. And your heart rate and blood pressure drop, and you're just so comfortable and fall asleep. Like that I'm into. But the drowning? No way, Jose. I threw my head back and wailed like an animal. Wailed out my sorrow like Davy Havoc. Della floated over me, watching me, waiting for me to stop. She knew what I was thinking. She knew I had figured everything out. She waited patiently. How long had she been waiting there for me? Waiting for a buddy? Another dead buddy? How long had she been waiting for another unlucky girl to drown? No! I moaned. No, I won't do it, Della. I can't do it. I won't be your buddy. I won't. That's fucking rude. First off, she walks in the cabin and is a total bitch to all her roommates. Then she dies and there's one other dead girl from miles around, or maybe anywhere. I don't know if that lake's magical or something. And then immediately is a bitch to that girl. No, I won't be your buddy. Like, you know, it'd be awkward if you guys just had to sit on opposite ends of the camp for fucking eternity. It's not like they're gonna keep the camp open for more dead girls to come once, you know, there's two drownings there, you know? Whatever. I spun around, so dizzy I nearly dropped to my knees. I started to run. The white robe flew open. It flapped beside me like wings as I ran away from her. Ran barefoot over the snowy ground. Ran through the swirls of fog, through the gray. Come back, Sarah, I heard Della calling to me. Come back. You have to be my buddy. I'm trapped here, trapped as a ghost. I can't leave this camp. I can't get to the other world without a buddy. But I didn't stop. I kept running through the camp, past the cabins, past the supply sheds at the edge of the woods. I kept running from her calls, running from her ghostly voice. I didn't want to be her buddy, I told myself. I don't want to be a ghost. I blinked away snowflakes as I ran. Ran through the bare, creaking trees. Ran without looking back. I stopped when I reached the lake shore. Suddenly, when I felt the cold water lap over me, my feet. The cold, gray water, I struggled to catch my breath, but my chest hurt. Felt about to explode. Gasping, I turned and saw Della floating through the trees. Floating toward me, her eyes glowing with blue fire. You can't leave without me, Sarah, she cried. You can't leave me, Sarah. I turned away from her, turned back to the water. My chest, my head, my something and my something, everything hurt so much. I couldn't breathe. My chest was going to burst. I sank to the mud as the gray faded to black. Okay, new cocktail. Chapter 18. Pinpricks of white light danced above me. I thought of fireflies darting above the grass late at night. The tiny lights grew brighter, round like flashlight beams, brighter still, until I was staring into a glowing ball of gold. I blinked. It took me a long while to realize that I was staring up at the sun. I turned my head away. I suddenly felt very heavy. I could feel the ground beneath me. I could feel the weight of my body on the ground. My body, my solid body, coming back to me. I heard a groan. Someone moved above me. I blinked several times and squinted up at Liz. Her face was red. I thought all of her was red. Her mouth was twisted in a hard scowl. I groaned as she pressed both hands on my chest, raised her hands, and pressed again. I felt water slide from my open mouth. I choked, felt more water pour down my chin. "She's coming around," Liz announced. She pressed hard on my chest again. "She's alive," Liz cried. Behind her, I could see bare legs, swimsuits, campers. Yes, the other campers.
Just waiting at the spawn points with sniper rifles ready to kill people. Fuck off, campers, am I right?
I groaned again. Liz continued to work over me. I'm laying on my back, I realized. I'm laying on the lake shore. Liz is giving me CPR.
CPR is a lot better than CP, which Jared from Subway just got popped for. Hey, Jared, how about being sexually attracted to adults? Am I right? Zing! Hey, Bill Cosby, how about you knock off the rape? Zing!
Topical. The other campers were standing around me, watching Liz save my life.
I'm alive!
The word burst from my throat. I sat up and gazed around. Everyone is back, I realized. It's summer again. The leaves are back on the trees. The sun is beaming down. And everyone is back, including me. Liz uttered a sigh and sank back on her knees. Sarah, are you okay? She asked breathlessly. She mopped sweat from her forehead with the back of her hand. Are you okay?
I think so, I murmured. I had a sour taste in my mouth. I still felt a little dizzy.
Behind Liz, some campers cheered and applauded.
We thought you were gone for a moment, Liz sighed.
You stopped breathing. What a scare. Two counselors helped me to my feet. I tried to shake off my dizziness.
I'm okay, I cried.
Thank you, Liz. You saved my life.
Wow, I'm so glad I'm not like, I don't have like a life debt to someone, you know? What show is it where someone has a life debt and then they pay it back and somehow, I don't know. What was going on? Oh God, I have no idea what I'm talking about. Oh fuck, I need a drink.
I hugged Liz. Then I turned and hugged Aaron. Brianna and Meg were standing nearby. I startled them by hugging them too. I was so happy to be alive. So happy to be away from that gray winter. Away from the frightening ghost girl in the empty camp. Sarah, what happened? Liz asked, placing a hand on my still wet shoulder. She gently brushed back my hair.
I'm not sure, I told her. I'm really not sure.
Liz shuddered. When you stopped breathing, I got so scared.
I'm fine now, I told her with a smile. Thanks to you. Wink.
She did it for attention, I heard someone mutter. Oh, what an asshole. I turned and saw Jan whispering to another girl. Now everyone has to say, poor Sarah, Jan whispered nastily. Now everyone has to be nice to her. I felt hurt. I opened my mouth to say something to Jan, but I was so happy to be back, so happy to be alive, that I just ignored that dumbass bitch. I rested a hand on Aaron's shoulder and let him walk me back to my cabin. I'm going to enjoy the rest of camp, I told my brother. I really am.
Wow. You get a second chance at life and you're like, let's just focus on this 1 2-week period that we're at camp and not the rest of my life where I'm going to like go to Africa and help people. But then again, if I got a new lease on life, I'd be like, you guys, I realize you could die at any time and I am not drinking enough. Okay. Some nights I just go to sleep completely coherent. I will not do that anymore. We need to go to Africa where they have cheap booze, load up, and then come back and never return. Anyway, speaking of which, there is a drinking break right here.
The nurse checked me out carefully. Then I rested all afternoon. I took a long nap. When I woke up, I was starving. I realized I hadn't eaten all day.
I pulled on jeans and a camp sweatshirt and hurried to the campfire. As I trotted down the path toward the clearing by the woods, the aroma of hot dogs and hamburgers and the barbecue drifted out to me. Richard greeted me at the campfire circle. "Sarah, you look great," he exclaimed. "I heard about what happened at the lake this afternoon." "Well, I'm fine now," I told him. "I feel great, da-na-na-na-na-na. I drowned in a lake, da-na-na-na-na-na. So great, a lake, I got a drown, da-da-da-da. Whoa!" "Hey, no more close calls," he scolded, "or else you have to swim in the kiddie pool." "I'll be careful," I promised. "I don't want to swim in that pool. It's filled with pee-pee." Hey, listeners, if you ever go swimming with old Dune, just remember, that pool's covered in pee-pee too, because Dune pisses in pools. "You'd better, because we don't have a kiddie pool," he joked. I laughed. "Take a seat," he said, pointing to the circle of logs. "Take a seat, everyone," he called out. "We're going to have a meeting before we eat." Most of the campers had already taken their places. I glanced around the circle quickly, searching for a place to sit. "Sarah?" a voice called to me. "Sarah, over here." I let out a shocked cry when I saw Della. Della, by herself on a long log back near the woods, her blonde hair shimmering around her pale face, the pale evening sunlight shining through her body, shining right through her. "No!" I moaned. "Come over here, Sarah," Della called. "Please sit over here with me. Be my buddy." Aw, this shit just got real. I'm excited. The 19th chapter of this book, I raised my hands to my cheeks and let out a shrill scream. "Home alone, ah!" "No, you're not here," I wailed. "You're a ghost. You don't belong here." "Prejudice. I'm alive now. I'm alive." "Oh, do ghosts need their own drinking fountains now too, Sarah?" "Bitch." I turned and saw Richard and Liz hurrying toward me. Across the circle, Aaron jumped up and came running over. "Sarah, what's wrong? What is it?" he cried. "Don't you see her?" I shrieked, pointing to the log near the woods. "She's a ghost, but I'm alive!" Liz wrapped her arms around me. "It's okay, Sarah," she whispered. "You're okay now." "But she's sitting there," I sputtered. Everyone turned to the log. "There's no one there," Richard said. He narrowed his eyes at me. "You had a terrible shock," Liz said softly. "A terrible shock. You're still not quite yourself, Sarah. But, I stammered like every goddamn Goosebumps again and again. But, I stammered. Yeah, it's just the same thing. I saw Brianna, Meg, and Jan huddled together, talking softly, watching me. What were they saying about me, I wondered. "Do you want me to walk you back to your cabin?" Richard asked. I shook my head. "No, I'm starving," Liz laughed. "Maybe that's your problem. You're so hungry, you're seeing things. Let's get you a hot dog, fast." Listeners, Amazon Prime me a hot dog. I went, "I can't buy them because I can't spend money. Damn it!" After a couple of hot dogs, I started to feel better. The campfire meeting began. I sat next to some girls from a different cabin. As Richard talked, I gazed around the circle, staring at the campers' faces, orange from the flickering campfire, searching for Della. Della, the ghost. Was she still here? Still watching me? Still waiting for me to be her buddy? I sat forward tensely, my whole body stiff, my eyes straining to see her pale, pale face, but she had vanished. For now, Liz took over the meeting. Most campers groaned when she started another lecture on water safety. How'd they groan? Someone almost died like 10 minutes ago. Fucking get over it, jabronis.
"We had a close call today," Liz said, like Dune would have.
"A frightening close call. I knew everyone was staring at me. I could feel my face growing hot. Well, take it away from the fire, idiot. I gazed into the yellow flames of the campfire. That's no way to cool down your face. When I raised my eyes, I saw Brianna, Meg, and Jan on the next log, whispering together about me. Our water safety rules are so important here at Camp Cold Lake, Liz was saying. Some campers joke about having so many rules is the curse of Camp Cold Lake.
Like the title of the book. So some campers joke that having so many rules is the curse of the lake, but it's probably ghost related and you know, not the rules. But we'll find out, won't we?
Because we talk about the rules so much. She pressed her hands against her sides. Her eyes moved from camper to camper. But as we saw this afternoon, she continued, the buddy system isn't a curse. It's a blessing. A face rose up behind the darting flames of the fire. I gasped. Della! No. A girl from another cabin, climbing up to get more food. I sank back. It wasn't Della. R.L. Stein, you always get us with those ones. I have to get away from this camp, I decided, as if it were Auschwitz. I can't have a good time here, just like Auschwitz. Not if I always have to keep an eye out for death. Oh, wait, sorry, Della. Liz rattled on about the water rules. Like everyone does in California. Oh, Dune, stop taking hour showers. Dune, you don't need a bath every day. Dune, don't pee in fresh water just because you think it's funny. No, okay? We can't let the drought win. We have to just keep living our lives. It's like 9/11, you know? We can't let the terrorists win. We have to pretend it didn't happen, and that's what I do with the drought. I still take showers all day, every day. And you know what? So what? The farmers stop farming shit. Like, I like almonds a lot, but they take so much water in California. We don't need almonds anymore. I'm done. If everyone can still shower for an hour a day, I say no more almonds, period. I'm done with them. That's my stance. Anyway. I have to get away from this camp, I decided. I can't have a good time here. Keep an eye out for Della. Liz rattled on about the water rules. Richard made a few announcements. Everyone sang some camp songs. When the campfire ended, I jumped up quickly and started along the path to my cabin. I had only gone a few steps when I heard fast footsteps behind me and heard someone calling my name. Was it the ghost? No, because you already said that bitch floats. You know, you can't just change that rule. I turned to see Aaron jogging up to me. What was the screaming about? He demanded. Did you really think you saw a ghost? Why should I tell you? I snapped. That's an answer that just said, yes, I think I saw a ghost. I continued along the path, walking rapidly. You'll only laugh at me. Try me, he replied, running to catch up. I won't laugh, I promise. I saw a ghost girl, I told him. I swear I did. She called to me. She wants me to be her buddy. Aaron laughed. No, really, he said. What did you really see? Be serious. I am serious, I cried. I have to get away from here, Aaron. I'm going to run away. Get to a phone. Call Mom and Dad tonight. I'm going to tell them to come get me. You can't, Aaron replied. He grabbed my arm and forced me to stop walking. I could see kids staring at us as they walked past. Mom and Dad won't come to make more than one trip up here. So if you call them, they'll make me come home too, Aaron protested, and I don't want to leave. I'm having a great time. I don't care if my sister just died and is being eaten alive by a ghost. You don't understand, I told him. I can't stay here. I can't. Please, Sarah, he begged. Try to stick it out. Give it a little more time. You're just a little messed up because of the lake this afternoon. But you'll be okay. Give it some time. Lots of people almost die all the time. You should see junkies. And they lead totally rich, full lives, you know? Get it? 'Cause they don't. I didn't say yes, and I didn't say no. I just told Aaron goodnight and headed back to my cabin. I stopped outside the door. All the lights were on. I heard Brianna, Meg, and Jan talking softly. Was there a knock on my door? I gotta check this out. Don't worry, guys. It's just paranoid delusions, not a knock on my door. They stopped talking as soon as I stepped inside. All three of them stared hard at me. Their expressions were tense. They moved quickly, moved toward me as I started across the room. They formed a circle around me. It's more of a triangle, right, with three of them? Surrounding me. What is it? I cried. What are you going to do?
Chapter number 20.
We want to apologize, Brianna said. We've been kind of rough on you, Jan added in her scratchy voice.
We're really sorry.
I think I went too scratchy. That one hurt. We've been talking about it, Brianna said. We've decided we've been really unfair, Meg interrupted. We're so sorry, Sarah.
I'm sorry too, I stammered. I was so stunned by their apologies I could barely speak.
Let's start all over, Brianna suggested. She grabbed my hand. Nice to meet you, Sarah. My name is Brianna. Oh, that's cheesy and tacky. You guys can try to start over, but by the way, the memory remains. Excellent. A fresh start, Jan declared. Thanks. I'm really glad, I told them, and I meant it. Jan turned to Brianna.
Where did you do that to your nails?
When did you do that shit to your nails? Brianna grinned and raised both hands. Her fingernails were a shiny, bright purple. It's a new color, she said. I did it after our swim.
That bitch had a chance to go swimming and then invent a new color? Jesus.
What color is it? Meg asked. Grape juice, I think, Brianna replied.
Which one's the black one? Because I don't want to make any comments, but really, grape juice?
They all have such crazy names. She dug the bottle of nail polish from her back and held it out to me. Want to try it?
Well, sure, I replied.
All four of us stayed up far past lights out, making our fingernails purple. Later, I lay in my bunk, drifting off to sleep. I had a smile on my face, thinking about my three bunkmates. My three... Mimi, you ready for this? Friends. I see my three friends here. Even though my fiancé's gone on a soul-searching mission in the mountains of Colorado, and while I'm here in Southern California, I see all my three friends. Hi, Franklin. Hi, Scarlett. Hi, Yoda. I can see them all right now. Scarlett is playing with something in the beam of sunlight. Frank's laying in his bed, and Yoda is drinking water. They're just so cute. They had really cheered me up. But my smile faded when I heard a whispered voice float across the dark cabin.
Sarah!
Sarah! I gasped, and then the frail voice, soft as the wind, was so close to my ear.
Sarah, I thought you were my buddy, Sarah. Why did you leave me?
No, please, I begged.
Sarah, I waited so long for you. The ghostly voice whispered, come with me. Come with me, Sarah.
And then an icy hand gripped my shoulder.
Jesus Christ, bitch, let shit go, you know what I'm saying? Look, she doesn't want to be friends with you. You don't want to be friends with someone who doesn't want to be friends with you.
One of my buddies recently told me about one of his crazy buddies punching him in the face numerous times because he was offended that he wasn't invited somewhere. Look, assholes, if someone doesn't want you somewhere, you don't want to be there. Stop punching people in the face and stop being a ghost going into some girl's cabin and grabbing her arm and demanding that she die. Those are my 2 points. I stand by him.
Chapter 21.
Huh? I bolted up in the bunk and stared out at Brianna's dark eyes. She let go of my shoulder.
Sarah, she whispered, you were whimpering in your sleep.
Huh? What? My voice quivered. My heart pounded. I realized I was drenched in sweat and possibly pee-pee.
You were whimpering in your sleep, Brianna repeated, crying and moaning.
I thought I'd better wake you. Thanks, I choked out. Must have been a bad dream, I guess. Brianna nodded and crept back to her bunk. I didn't move. I sat there trembling, staring out across the dark cabin.
A bad dream? I don't think so.
Ooh, there's a drinking break. And now I'm drinking a Dos Equis lager. Mmm. You can skip the long-distance swim today if you want, Liz told me at breakfast the next morning. She leaned over my chair as I downed my cornflakes. Hopefully she doesn't drown in them, because she's drowned and died. I could smell the toothpaste on her breath. Well, I hesitated, how long's the swim? We're swimming halfway across the lake, Liz replied. Halfway out, then back. We'll be in a boat at the halfway point. It really isn't that far, but if you feel like skipping it today... I set down my spoon. I could see Meg and Brianna watching me from across the table. Beside me, Jan was struggling to choke down a half-toasted frozen waffle. Come on, swim with us, Brianna urged, apparently wanting her to die. I'll be your buddy, Jan said. I'll swim with you, Sarah. Our frightening canoe adventure flashed in my mind. Once again, I pictured that horrible moment when Jan jumped from the canoe, tipping it over, leaving me there. But things were different now. We were friends. All four of us were friends now. I had to forget about what happened with the canoe. I had to forget about our bad start. Yeah, Native Americans, stop worrying about canoes and our bad start. Let's all just be friends now. You guys can live with us. But, you know, still the casinos and, you know, I guess cheap cigarettes. What else can you on Indian reservations? You can buy fireworks, right? Fireworks are rad. Fireworks never get old. That's my lesson to you, kids. Load up now, because they're always good times. Okay, I agreed. Thanks, Jan. I'll be your buddy. I turned back to Liz. I'm ready to swim. Ooh, another drinking break. Still with the Dos Equis. The morning sun still floated low in the sky. It kept fading behind the broad, gray clouds, and each time the sun disappeared, the air became as cold as the water. The lake was so cold in the early morning. As I waded in, I suddenly realized why it was named Cold Lake. Duh, you fucking idiot. 'Cause it's a lake and it's cold, jabroni. We all stepped carefully into the water, shivering and complaining. The water lapped over my ankles, stinging them. I stopped with a gasp and waited to get used to the cold. I raised my eyes at the sound of a motorboat and saw Liz chugging to her place in the middle of the lake. When she reached the spot, she cut the engine. Then she picked up an electric megaphone.
Warm up first,
she instructed us. We all laughed. Warm up? How are we supposed to warm up? It's freezing. Probably by moving in some way, you know, getting warmed up. Like, that's a thing. Two girls near the shore began splashing each other. I heard that when someone talks about splashing, it's mostly just urine that's coming out. And it's not actually anything special or separate. And you're just getting peed on. Stop it! Whoa, it's cold! One of them shrieked. Taking a few steps over the soft lake bottom, I adjusted the top of my blue swimsuit. We need wetsuits, I told Jan. That way we can pee in them, and the pee will stay inside insulated and keep us warm until it cools down. And by then, it'll be like introducing a goldfish to water when you keep it in the bag for a while. It'll be totally fine. Why don't we just pee on each other? She nodded, then waded out until the water lapped at her waist. Come on, Sarah, stick together. She motioned for me to follow. I took a deep breath and plunged into the water. A shock of cold swept over my body, but I dove under the water and swam out a few strokes. Then I raised my head and turned back to Jan. Show off, she muttered. She dipped her hands in the water, still struggling to get used to the cold. I laughed. It's refreshing, I exclaimed, brushing my wet hair back. Come on, just push off. It isn't that bad. Jan lowered herself into the water. Most of the swimmers were in the water now, moving in circles, floating on their backs and treading water. Line up, everyone, Liz instructed from her boat. Her voice through the megaphone echoed off the trees behind us.
Line up, everyone. Two at a time, let's go.
It took a while for everyone to get in place. Jan and I were second in line, which is a lot different than being in a second line because we're not in New Orleans playing rad music. I watched the first two girls begin to swim. One of them moved with smooth, steady strokes. The other one splashed and thrashed. Everyone cheered them on. Jan and I gave them about a 2-minute head start. Then we began to swim. I tried to copy the first girl's rhythmic stroke. I didn't want to look like a klutz. I knew all the other swimmers were watching. But let's get real. I'm not exactly headed for the Olympics, you know? I'm not Fred Phelps. Oh, sorry, it's Michael Phelps. Fred Phelps is like the rad dude with great political points. Jan pulled ahead easily. As we swam, she kept turning back to make sure I was keeping up with her. Their turnaround spot was just past Liz's motorboat. I kept my eyes on it as I was following Jan through the water, wishing I could motorboat her. It seemed very far away. Jan picked up speed. My arms started aching about halfway to the boat. I'm in bad shape, I told myself. I've really got to start working out or something. Liz's boat bobbed gently up ahead of us. Liz was shouting something into the megaphone, but the splash of the water kept me from making out the words. By the way, has there ever been an Asian kid in Goosebumps? I just realized that. Has there ever been one at all? I don't think so. Up ahead of me, Jan picked up the pace. Hey, slow down, I called, but there was no way she could hear me. Ignoring the aching in my arms, I struggled to catch up to her. I kicked my legs harder, splashing up water behind me. The sun dipped once again behind a high cloud. The sky darkened, and the water seemed to chill. Did that bitch just die again? Can she take a bath without dying? Every time she gets in the water, she dies. Jesus, get a new shtick. Liz's boat rocked in the water just up ahead. I kept my eyes on Jan, watched her steady kicks, her hair bobbing on the lake surface, like some kind of sea creature that bobs on the surface, like an opa. I had an opa sandwich the other day. That shit good. My dad got a tattoo of an opa. When Jan turns back, I'll turn back, I decided. I swam a little faster. Let's turn, I pleaded silently with Jan. We're here. We're even with Liz's motorboat. I'm ready to turn back now. But to my surprise, Jan kept stroking, kept swimming straight ahead. Her head ducked under the water. Her arms moved easily, gracefully, pulling her farther ahead of me. Hey, you know what wasn't easy and graceful? When me and my bros and my fiance were all at the pool in my complex where there's like 1,000 people that live, and we're all hanging out in the pool like we do all the time, and my next door neighbor, I have to talk quietly, was getting finger blasted and it was very uncomfortable.
That's all. Now I'm like, I can make as much noise as I want because nothing's worse than that.
There was like a party going on there too, and I think there might have been kids, but nope, just going at it.
I regret saying that because my door is like next to her door. Her door is like 12 feet from me. Oh God, this is uncomfortable.
Jan, my arms ached. My head, my chest started to burn. Hey Jan, can we turn now? She swam steadily ahead. With a burst of energy, I pulled myself forward. Jan, wait, I called. We're supposed to head back. She stopped stroking. Finish up. This is what you're paid for. Did she hear me? Breathing hard, my chest burned. I swam up to her. She turned to face me. Jan? I gasped. No, not Jan. It wasn't Jan. It was Della. Her blue eyes sparkled as a gleeful smile spread over her pale, pale face.
Keep swimming, Sarah, she whispered. We're going to swim farther and farther. You're my buddy now.
Chapter 22. She grabbed my arm. I tried to tug away. My wet arm slid in her grasp, but her grip tightened around my wrist and she held on, pulling me with her. Ow! She was strong. So strong for such a frail looking girl. Such a frail looking ghost!
Yeah, I assume ghosts are strong, right? They like throw like TVs across the room and crawl out of TVs and turn them on. They're mostly into TV, but then again, so am I.
Let go! I shrieked. Let go, donkey! I shrieked. I struggled, slapping the water, kicking, squirming, and twisting. Della, I won't come with you! I jerked my body around, spun hard, and broke free, and dropped beneath the surface. Lifting both arms, I rose up, coughing and sputtering. Where was she? Where? Was she right behind me, ready to pull me with her? Pull me out so I couldn't swim back? I spun away. The water rocked and tilted. Mike moved. I had to put a lighter back in place to hold it there. The clouds overhead appeared to roar past. Sarah? Sarah? Was she calling to me? Why couldn't I see her now? I turned again. My eyes stopped on the boat. Yes, the boat. Ignoring my racing heartbeats, my aching arms, I plunged forward. The boat. Got to reach the boat before she grabs me again. Swimming furiously, kicking with my last bit of strength, I dove for the boat. Stretching my arms out, stretching, like Stretch Armstrong, but the female version, but I don't know what that is, and grabbed the side with both hands, choking and gasping, grabbing the side of the boat and tried to pull myself in. Liz, help me! The words escaped my throat in a hoarse whisper. Nay, Liz, help me in. I'm a horse. I can't swim. Just like a Dune recently referenced The Ring where the girl climbs out. I learned in that movie that horses don't swim good. The sun burst out from behind the clouds. I stared up into the blinding golden light like God was pissing on my face. Liz, please. Hands reached down for me. She bent to pull me into the motorboat, leaning forward, pulling me up. Blinking against the bright sunlight, I raised my eyes to her face. No! Not Liz's face. Not Liz! Della! Ah, bitch, you're getting a Della! Della pulling me into the boat. What's wrong, Sarah? She whispered, pulling me up to her. Sarah, you're okay. You're perfectly okay. God, what an obsessive bitch, am I right? I don't like this Della at all. I'm going to take a big chug of this here Dos Equis, which will make me burp all the way through, and then I'm going to go on to chapter 23. That's what I did. Chapter 23, let go! I wailed as if I played behind Bob Marley. I tore myself from her grip and tried to blink away from the sun and stared up at Liz like a blister in the sun. Oh, not Della, Liz, her face twisted and concerned. Sarah, you're okay, she repeated, but I stared up at her again, waiting for her face to change again, waiting for her to become Della again. Had I only imagined Della's face? Had the streaming sunlight did a trick on the eyes? With a sigh, I let her help me into the boat and look for the princess. I slumped to my knees, which is the only way I knew how to repay people for saving my life. The boat rocked up and down, and if boats are rocking, don't come a knocking. Or, you know, there's a storm going on, or a bigger boat may have, you know, passed by, and they're in the wake of the boat, and that's why the boat was rocking. When I had the incident with the kayak, there was nothing going on. I just fell over. Liz narrowed her eyes at me. What happened out there? She asked. Before I could answer, I heard splashing outside the boat. Della? I froze. No. Jan pulled herself up on the side. She brushed her wet hair off her face. Sarah, didn't you hear me calling you? She demanded. Jan, I didn't see you. I thought... My voice caught in my throat. Why'd you swim away from me? Jan asked. I'm your buddy, remember? Ooh, there's another drinking break. I guess the other one was just a chapter break, but more Dos Equis. Ew, that sounded disgusting. And I still need to burp. Liz drove me to shore. I changed my clothes and went to see Richard. I found him in the head counselor's office, a little room about the size of a closet in the back of the main lodge.
Hey, you ladies want to come see my office?
Is this a closet?
Yeah, but move the mop and let's make love. No, leave the mop. We'll have a threesome.
He was resting his feet on top of his tiny desk. He twirled a toothpick in his mouth.
Oh, God, what about it? I was going to say try to... Fuck!
Come on, Dune, you can do this. I was going to say talk about a try hard, but I fucked it up twice. Hey, Sarah, what's going on? He flashed me a friendly smile and motioned for me to take a seat in the folding chairs across from his desk, like the guy from To Catch a Predator. Chris Hansen, that's his name. I can see his eyes studying me. I hear you and had another little problem in the lake, he said softly. He moved the toothpick to the other side of his mouth. What's going on? I took a deep breath. Should I tell him there's a ghost girl who's been following me everywhere? Who wants me to be her buddy? He'd just think that I'm nuts, I decided. You had a bad shock yesterday, Richard said. We really thought that you drowned. I like that the camp counselors are like authority figures in this book. Like, they get to make decisions about kids' health and stuff. Like, what if she had a seizure while swimming and that's why she drowned in the first place? And they're like, eh, walk it off. We have a nurse here. You know, she's willing to get paid like $8 a day to be a camp nurse rather than a real nurse who gets paid real money and is Filipino. He lowered his feet and leaned over the desk toward me. Maybe you went back in the water too soon, he said. Too soon after the shock. Maybe, I murmured, and then I blurted out the question that was really on my mind. Richard, tell me about the girl who drowned here.
Uh-oh.
His mouth dropped open.
Huh?
The toothpick fell on his lap because apparently he's a fucking cartoon character. I know that a girl drowned in the lake, I insisted. Can you tell me about her? Richard shook his head. No girl ever drowned at Camp Cold Lake, he said. Never. I knew he was lying, because all men lie. Hashtag not all men, yes all men. Black Lives Matter. Free Trayvon. I don't know. I had proof, after all. I had seen Della. I had talked with her. Richard, please, I begged. I really need to know. Tell me about her. He frowned. Why don't you believe me, Sarah? I'm telling the truth. No campers have ever drowned at this camp. No boys, no girls. I heard a soft sigh behind me. I glanced back at the doorway and saw Della standing there. I jumped to my feet and pointed. Richard, I cried, the girl who drowned. She's standing right there. Don't you see her? Richard raised his eyes to the doorway. Yes, he replied softly. I see her. Is he talking about a reflection or some shit? I hate the twist endings of chapters. We'll see, won't we, listeners? I'm Dune.
Chapter number 24.
Huh? I gasped and grabbed the edge of his desk. You see her, I cried. You really do? Richard nodded. He had a solemn expression on his face. If it makes you feel better, Sarah, I'll say that I see her. But you don't really see her? I demanded. That wasn't a very demanding tone I delivered that in. He scratched his sandy-colored hair. That's just getting word counts in there. No, I don't see shit, idiot. I turned back to the doorway. Della grinned at me. Sit down, please, Richard instructed. You know, sometimes our mind plays tricks on us. In fact, the Ghetto Boys compose an entire song about it, especially when we've been through a really bad scare. I didn't sit down. I stood in front of his desk and stared hard at Della. Stared right through her, wishing that Dune would drink some of his beer. Okay, I will.
She's not in my mind. She's right there, I shouted. She's standing right there, Richard. Her name is Della. She drowned at this camp, and now she's trying to drown me, too.
Sarah, please calm down, Richard said gently. He climbed around his desk and put a hand on my shoulder. Then he led me to the door. I was standing face to face with Della, as if we were about to have some sort of MMA fight, but we needed to get a photo shoot done first. She stuck out her tongue at me. I put it in my mouth and we kissed. Oh, sorry, I was working on my fan fiction. Except for I would have just called it The Curse of Camp Cold Lake 2, Ghost Fuckers, parentheses, Lesbian Edition, parentheses, Hot and Horny, 18 and Only, Old Overs, Doing Stuff, and Jared from Subway, don't look at this, because it's full of adults, you fucking idiot, you're gross, stop being gross, and Subway is gross. Anyway, see, there's no one there, Richard said. But, I sputtered, God, I hate that sentence. Why don't you stay away from the lake for a few days? He suggested, you know, just hang out and relax like Dune does. Della mouthed his words as he spoke. I turned away from her. She giggled. Don't go to the lake. I asked Richard. Question mark? Don't go to the lake? He nodded. Take a few days and rest up. You'll feel much better. I knew I wouldn't feel better. I knew I'd still have Della following me everywhere, trying to make me her buddy. I sighed. That won't help, I told him. Then I have a different plan, he said. Pick a sport you haven't tried, Sarah. Pick something really hard, like water skiing. I don't get it, I replied. Why should I do that? Because you will have to think so hard about what you're doing, you won't have time to worry about ghosts. I rolled my eyes. Yeah, right. She needs to get some sub-box ghost to wean her off the... Forget it. I'm trying to help you, he said sharply. Well, thanks, I replied. I didn't know what else to say. I guess I'll go to lunch now. I trudged out of the tiny office and took a deep breath. The air was much cooler out in the main lodge. I turned the corner and headed toward the mess hall in the front of the building. As I turned another corner, I heard Della's frail voice behind me. You can't get away, Sarah. You're my buddy. There's no need to run. You'll always be my buddy. What if it turns out that Della is the other twin that was conceived when their parents made beautiful love and she died in the womb and then drowning only awakened her, and it turns out that they are one and the only way that they can actually rejoin each other is if they both die and then they can come back as a robot and kill off humanity? A script by Dune, age 29. The soft words so close to my ear sent shivers down my back. Something inside me snapped. Hope it wasn't her appendix. I couldn't hold in my fury. Shut up, I shrieked. Shut up, shut up, shut the fuck up and leave me alone. I spun around to see if she had heard me and gasped in horror. Chapter number 25. Brianna stood behind me. Her mouth dropped open in shock. Okay, okay, I'll go away, she said, backing up. You don't have to be so nasty, Sarah. I was just coming to see how you were doing. Wow, I felt bad. Brianna thought I was talking to her. I stammered as if I were saying but in stammering. I thought you wanted to be friends, Brianna snapped. I didn't even say a word to you and you bit my fucking head off. What are you, Ozzy Osbourne, trying to market yourself? Well, get over yourself. You're not Ozzy Osbourne. He's not even that good. I wasn't talking to you, I finally choked out. I was talking to her. I pointed to Della, who was leaning against the wall behind us. Della waved to me and giggled. The sun from the open lodge window lit up Della's blonde hair from behind. I could see the window right through her body. I was talking to her, I repeated. Brianna raised her eyes to the window, and the strangest expression spread over her face.
Drinking break, Trojan man, Ricola.
It's all the same. Beer's done. The next morning, I gulped down some gooey scrambled eggs for breakfast. Then I made my way to the boat dock. Don't ask why I decided to try water skiing. I assumed it was because that dude suggested it to you. I really don't have an answer. What about the dude who suggested it? I suppose I did it for Aaron. The night before, he begged me once again not to call Mom and Dad. Aaron really didn't want to go home. He said he was having the best summer of his life. Sure, I thought. It's easy for you to have a good summer. You don't have a ghost following you around.
Please try and stay a while longer, Aaron begged.
I won't go to the lake, I decided. I'll hang around the cabin and read or something. Reading's so good. But in the morning, I realized that was a bad plan. I'd been too scared to stay by myself in the cabin while everyone else was at the lake. I would have no way to protect myself against Della. Yes, I know I wasn't thinking clearly, but after all, I'm a teenage girl and, you know, we're cuckoo bananas. I was so stressed out I could barely think at all. I would have stayed as far away from the water as possible, but I really didn't want to be alone. So I followed Richard's advice and went to the boat dock and told Liz I wanted to try water skiing. The last two sentences started with and. In an elementary school, I was told you can't start sentences with and. But as an adult, I think you can, and that's all.
That's great, Sarah, Liz cried, flashing me a pleasant smile. Have you ever done it before? It's easier than it looks.
I told her I'd never tried it. She pulled a yellow inflatable life vest and a pair of skis from the equipment shed. Then she gave me a short lesson. She showed me how to lean back. Lean back, like a cholo, all songs are the same, and how to bend my knees. A short while later, I was in the water, waiting for the motorboat to come around. Meg was using the boat now, skiing behind it, sliding over the water. Her orange bathing suit glowed in the morning sunlight as if she were in Baywatch. The hum of the boat echoed over the water. The lake bobbed and rippled in the boat's wake. Meg let out a cry and let go of the tow rope as the boat sped near the dock. She splashed into the water, then quickly pulled off her skis. Then she came walking to shore.
My turn next, I said softly. I felt a knot in my stomach, as if I had swallowed a rope, and was really good at deep throat, and my throat turned that rope like a cherry stem into a knot.
Very erotic. To Arabic people into sword swallowing, I got nothing.
Meg flashed me a thumbs up.
Get it? Because I, like, flat or whatever.
I struggled with my skis, but finally got them in place. Then I pulled up the tow rope, gripping it tightly in both hands. The boat motor sputtered and coughed. The boat rocked up ahead of me, and in the blue rippling water, I steadied myself, lowered myself the way Liz had shown me, and took a deep breath.
Ready,
I called. The motor sputtered and then roared. The boat pulled away so fast the tow rope nearly flew out of my hands. Whoa! I opened my mouth in a long cry as the rope pulled me up. Yikes! The skis bounced over the surface. I bent my knees and gripped the tow rope tightly. I'm doing it, I realized. I'm water skiing. The boat picked up speed. We headed in a straight line over the sparkling water. The cold spray swept over my face, my hair. I started to lose my balance, tugged myself back up, held on, and kept going. Yes, I cried aloud. What an awesome feeling. But then the driver of the boat turned her head, and I recognized Della's evil grin.
Damn.
Wait, can ghosts ride or drive boats? If so, that's what I want to do when I die. I want to be a boat ghost. More specifically, a yacht ghost. Oh god, that's my new album name, Yacht Ghost. Sorry. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do!
As she worked the controls, Della's white blonde hair flew up like wings around her pale face. Her blue eyes sparkled like the water. Her grin grew wider as she saw the horror on my face.
Turn around, turn back, please, I begged.
She made the boat swerve hard. I nearly toppled over. I gripped the tow rope. My skis slapped the surface. Pain shot up to my knees. The cold spray washed over me. I gasped, struggled to catch my breath. Della drew back her head and laughed. The sound was drowned out by the roar of the motor. I could see the sky through her body. The sunlight poured right through her.
Turn around, I screamed. Stop! Where are you taking me? Where?
I'm going to assume somewhere on the lake.
There's only a finite amount of space on a lake, but we'll find out, won't we? Chapter 26. I'm now drinking a Epic IPA from Mammoth Brewing Company that my parents brought me back from Mammoth Lakes, California, like a week and a half ago. I appreciate it. I like my parents. How did I turn out so fucked up when I liked my parents and had no real trauma? What the hell? Della didn't answer. She turned away from me, her hair flying wildly behind her head. The boat bounced over the water, sending up tall waves of foam and spray, like mousse and hairspray, because it was the 90s and people still had big hair in different parts of the country, but not California. The waves splashed over me, chilling me, blinding me. Gripped in panic, it took me a long time to realize that I had an easy escape. I let go of the tow rope. My hands shot up. This isn't a good time to shoot up. The tow bar snapped against the water. Poor tow bar! Just kidding. I skidded for a few seconds. My arms thrashed wildly, and then I toppled over and sank. My life vest pulled me back up. I bounced on the surface, gasping, spitting out water. My heart pounded. I felt so dizzy. The bright sunlight seemed to surround me. Which way was up? Which way to the shore? I spun around and saw the motorboat in the distance. You didn't get me this time, I called to Della. But then I froze as the boat began to turn. Della swerved the boat, kicking up a tall wave of white water, swerved it back around until it pointed at me, as if I were the iceberg and she was the Titanic. I gasped as I heard the motor roar. I bobbed helplessly in the water. The boat picked up speed and then dropped it off in America, and that's drug smuggling. Skipping over the rippling surface. She's coming for me, I thought. She's coming to make me her buddy forever. I'm trapped out here. She's coming to run me over. I feel like all of this is just a story about R.L. Stine being in a bad, dead relationship. Where it's like this ghost of a woman who's cold and heartless and has no pulse wants me to be her buddy forever. But no, I just want to be free and get all that bookstore pussy. I don't know what he wants to do. Never mind. Anyway. Epic IPA. Chapter 27. I treaded water, watching in horror as the boat sped toward me. I've got to dive under it, I realized. The only way to escape is down. I took a deep breath. Every muscle tensed. I knew I had to time my dive perfectly. The boat roared closer. I could see Della crouched over the motor, guiding the boat, aiming it. I took another deep breath, and then I realized I couldn't dive. The life vest was holding me up. No way I could plunge beneath the surface. Like styrofoam boots, you know? You'll be drowned in boots like Mafia, but your feet will still float like Christ while I'll be damned. You know? What? No? No Modest Mouse references? Anyway. With a cry, I grabbed the front of the vest with both hands and tugged. I can't do this, I realized. I can't get it off me in time. The water rocked harder as the boat sped nearer. The whole lake seemed to tilt and spin the boat. It's going to tear me to pieces, I thought. Like I'm a poor, helpless manatee in Florida. God damn you, Florida. I pulled at the vest, pushed it. Please, please slide over my head. No time, no time. I can't dive. Or die. The motor's roar drowned out my scream. With a frantic tug, I pulled the life vest up over my shoulders. Too late. The front of the boat bounced over me. Then, the whirring motor blades sliced off my head. Jesus Christ, that's quite a way to end a Goosebumps chapter. What the fuck? I've never had one like that. I'm going to take another sip of beer and just keep reading. Three chapters in one, as they tend to be short at the end. Chapter 28, that's how old I was like a month ago, but now I'm 29. I waited for the pain. I waited for the darkness. This sounds like some junior high ass goth poetry. The water swirled around me, blue, then green. Choking on a mouthful of water, I thrashed up to the surface, struggling to breathe. I let the waves rock me back and forth. The life vest, I choked out. I held half the life vest in each hand. The motor blades had sliced the life vest in two. Wait. The last chapter said, then the whirring motor blades sliced off my head. Now he's saying, oh wait, it was just a life vest, not my fucking head. I'm sorry, I know every chapter ends with a weird fake twist, but this is maybe the biggest bullshit one ever. They've had a lot of bullshit ones like, oh, never mind, I just imagined what I said. But the last chapter ends with, it sliced off my fucking head. But no, oh, I tossed the two pieces away and started to laugh. Ha ha, I'm not laughing, R.L. Stine, I feel ripped off. I'm alive, I cried out. I'm still alive. I turned and saw the boat speeding across the lake. Did Della think she had won? I didn't give a fuck. I spun around, found the shore, and started to swim. My close call gave me new energy. The strong, rocking current helped push me back to the camp. I heard girls calling to me as I stumbled onto the grass, and I saw Liz jogging over quickly. Sarah! She called Sarah, wait! I ignored her. I ignored them all. I started to run. I knew what I had to do. I had to get away from Camp Cold Lake. I had to get away as fast as I could. I wasn't safe here. Not as long as Della wanted me for her buddy. Not as long as Della wanted me to drown too. I knew no one would believe me. They all said they wanted to help, but no one could really help me. Not against a ghost. I burst into the cabin and tore off my wet swimsuit. Tossing on the floor, I stood there naked. Just fucking nude and shit. I frantically pulled on shorts and a t-shirt. Dune hoped you put on underwear because you're all wet and you're not dried out completely. You'll probably start chafing. You need some underwear on. I swept my hair back with both hands. Tugged on socks and my sneakers. Got to get away. Got to get away. I chanted to myself. You're not supposed to reveal your mantra. Mantra? I sounded like someone from Minnesota that's getting into transcendental meditation. Yeah, you know my mantra. My yogi says I'm not supposed to reveal it, but I'll tell you, it's gotta get away. Gotta get away. What to do? Where to go? I'll run through the woods to the town on the other side, I decided. I'll call Mom and Dad. I'll tell them I'm hiding in town. I'll tell them to pick me up there. I stopped at the cabin doorway. Should I tell Aaron? No. No way, I decided. He'll only try to stop me. I'll get a message to Aaron from town, I decided. I'll tell him where I am, but not until I'm safe. Not until I'm far away from this fucking shitty-ass place. I poked my head out of the cabin and searched around, making sure the coast was clear. Then, I stepped outside and made my way around to the back and ran into Brianna. She narrowed her eyes at me, studying my face. You're going? She asked quietly. I nodded. Yes, I'm going. Once again, Brianna's expression changed. The light in her eyes seemed to fade. Good luck, she whispered. Oh, shit, is it a whole ghost camp? I think we'll find out on the next one, won't we?
Chapter 29.
Why is she acting so weird? I wondered. I didn't have time to think about it. I gave Brianna a wave. Then I ran past her and headed into the woods. I glanced back as I followed a path between the trees and saw Brianna still standing there behind the cabin, watching me. Ooh, she's like Sting, she's always watching people, but she's not like P. Diddy, who's watching people in a very similar way to Sting, but not in a way that he would have owed him money. Taking a deep breath and a deep drag of beer, I turned and hurried along the path. The trees overhead cut off a lot of the sunlight. It grew darker and cooler as I ran. A hedge of sharp burrs and brambles scraped my bare arms and legs as I tried to edge past. I wished I had worn jeans and a sweatshirt and underwear, as Dune suggested, or at least use some of that spray-on talcum powder that he used prior to that hike that was super hot on Saturday. Something that covered me better. My sneakers slipped over a thick blanket of dead leaves. I had to skip over fallen tree limbs and clumps of thorny weeds. I almost found Hay's body somewhere next to a log. Tree roots rose up over the path. Tall, dry reeds leaned over me, as if reaching to grab me. Fuck. It's only 6:45. By the way, I think I started this around 4, and I might be too drunk to finish. Just kidding, I'll do it. The narrow path divided in two like a snake's tongue, or like your pee stream after you just had sex. I paused, breathing hard, trying to decide which path to take. Would they both lead me to town? I held my breath when I heard a voice singing. A bird? No, a soft voice. A girl's voice. Ah, fuck, I moaned. Raising my eyes to the sound, I saw Della perched on a low tree limb. She tilted her head from side to side as she sang. Her blue eyes sparkled, gazing down at me. You followed me, I stammered, excited about her, looking up my page on Twitter. How did you know that I... My voice caught in my throat. She giggled.
You're my buddy, she replied. We have to stick together.
No, no way, I screamed up at her. You lose, Della. I'm not going to be your buddy, because I'm never going to the lake again. I'm never going to drown like you. Della's smile faded.
Drown?
She shook her head. Sarah, what made you think that? You're very confused.
I didn't drown.
Huh? My mouth dropped open. I stared at her in shock.
Close your mouth, Sarah. A fly will fly into it.
Della tilted her head back and laughed. Then she shook her head again. How could anyone drown at Camp Cold Lake? She demanded. They give a lecture about water safety every 5 minutes. No one ever drowned at Camp Cold Lake.
You didn't drown? I cried.
Then how'd you die? She rested her hands on the tree limb and leaned forward, peering down at me like some sort of Cheshire-ass cat, you know what I'm saying? I could see through her body, see the leaves shaking in the breeze. It's a simple story, Della said with a sigh. One night, I got tired of listening to water safety lectures at the campfire, so I sneaked off into the woods. Her hair back with a toss of her head. I made one major mistake, she continued. I didn't know that the woods are filled with deadly, poisonous snakes. I fucking hate snakes. The other thing, speaking of that hike, was when I first went out there, it was like, here's the warning sign. There's deer, which I saw a big-ass, beautiful deer. It was rad as hell. And then it was like, there's rattlesnakes, and I'm fucking deathly afraid of snakes. Everyone that listens to podcasts knows I fucking hate snakes. And then it said, also, there's mountain lions, which I was like, I've played Hecka GTA 5, and I know that little growl, and it means I'm going to die in 2 seconds. And I was like, fuck. So I spent the whole time being like, is that stick a snake? Is that a snake? There's a shadow on the trail. Is that a snake? Point is, there's no snakes. Just heat, you know, killing me quickly. I gasped, these woods? Snakes? Della nodded. It's nearly impossible to cross through the woods without getting bitten, she sighed. I died of a snake bite, Sarah. But, I sputtered. God, I'm getting sick of that. But you were always at the lake, I choked out. Why did I always see you at the lake? Don't you get it? She replied. That was my plan. I made you afraid of the lake, Sarah. I made you terrified of the lake because I knew you'd try to escape through the woods. I knew you'd run into the woods and die like me and be my buddy. No, I protested. I won't.
Sarah, look.
Della pointed to the ground. I gazed down and watched a fat, black snake curl around my leg. Holy shit, holy shit, holy shit.
Chapter 30. Buddies forever,
Della sang cheerfully.
Buddies forever.
I stood frozen, gaping down in horror, watching the fat snake wind itself around me, feeling its warm, dry body scrape over my bare skin. No! A low moan escaped my throat as the snake arched its head. It won't hurt that much, Della said brightly. It's like a bee sting, Sarah. That's all. Or like, you know, shooting dope. It's a cool, relaxing death. The snake let out a loud hiss. It snapped open its jaws. I felt its body tighten like a warm rope around my leg. And then it did some shit. Oh, sorry. Buddies forever, Della sang. Buddies forever. No, Sarah is not your buddy, a voice rang out. I tried to turn toward the voice, but I couldn't move. I felt the snake tighten its hold on my leg. Brianna, I cried, what are you doing here? She hurried out from behind a clump of tall reeds. With one quick motion, she grabbed the snake in one hand, slid it off my leg, and tossed it into the trees. Fuck you, snake! Brianna raised her eyes to Della. Sarah can't be your buddy, because she's my buddy. Brianna shouted. Della's eyes grew wide. She cried out in surprise. She gripped the tree branch to keep from falling. You? She exclaimed. What are you doing here? Yes, it's me, Brianna shouted up to her. I'm back, Della. But how did you... What the fuck? Della's voice trailed off. You tried to do the same thing to me last year, Brianna said. You tried all summer to make me your buddy. You terrified me, didn't you, Della? Brianna uttered an angry cry. You didn't think I'd come back, but I did. I came back to camp this summer to protect the next girl. Well, that's noble. No, Della wailed. I finally understood. I stepped up to the tree beside Brianna. Brianna is my buddy, I declared, and I'm coming back next summer to warn the next girl. No, 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 Della raged. You can't do that. I've waited so long. So long. She let go of the tree limb and shook her fists at Brianna and me, lost her balance. Her hands flew up as she started to fall. She grabbed for the limb and missed and dropped silently to the ground. Then, she was gone. Vanished. With a weary sigh, I climbed to my feet. I shook my head. Is she gone for good? I murmured. Brianna shrugged. I don't know. I sure hope so. I turned to Brianna. You saved my life, I cried. Thank you for following me. Thank you for saving me. With a happy cry, I stepped up to her. Thank you, thank you. I wrapped my arms around her to hug her. And my hands went right through her body. I gasped. I grabbed her shoulder, but I couldn't feel shit. I jumped back in shock. Brianna narrowed her eyes at me. Della killed me last summer, Sarah, she said softly, on the last day, but I didn't want to be her buddy. I just never liked her. She floated forward, raising herself off the ground, hovering over me. But I need a buddy, she whispered. Everyone has to have a buddy. You'll be my buddy, won't you, Sarah? I saw the hissing snake in her hand, but I couldn't move. You'll be my buddy, won't you? Brianna repeated. You'll be my buddy forever. The end of the shitty ass book. Who was the one who suggested this again? Because that was absolutely terrible. That was by far one of my least favorite Goosebumps. And remember the last one where I was like, I like all the camp books. Well, guess what? Now I have to answer the questions and be like, you know what? All the camp books, not great. Because this one sucked. Fuck. I'm thinking that all of them towards the end are just bad, and that's why he stopped making them for a while. But I have to finish them, right? People keep asking me what I'm going to do once I finish them, but I don't know, probably not reading more shit. All right, let me phrase that. I'm not going to spend all this time reading more shit for free for, what, less than 1,000 people to listen to each episode? Like, that's ridiculous, you know? So I don't know what I'm doing. I would like to hypothetically parlay this into reading actual audiobooks. I can be professional. I can do that without making dick jokes. Or, I don't know. Or I'll just do a podcast where I talk about my life and shit. And then very few people listen, but only people that are interested. And I honestly don't know. But I can't imagine that once I'm done with the original 62 Goosebumps and all the Give Yourself Goosebumps, then I'm going to have any interest in continuing spending, what, so far this time I've done this for over 3 hours, and then I still have to edit it and then upload it and do everything, and then before I photoshopped a picture, so let's say 4 hours per half, so 8 hours per book, for very few people to say anything, and the most people that contact me are just like, hey, do more work for free, please, come on, which is just shitty. So yeah, the point is I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm done with this one, and I will keep doing this until I finish, I promise that much, you know, unless there's some sort of reason I'd stop, and until then, stay spooky, bitches.